I'd like you to kind of bow your heads with me, because without him we can do nothing. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and are not only believing for your word to set men free, but to see a chapter in our lives today form healing for others. We are epistles that God uses for our neighborhood, our surroundings, the workers that we were working with get touched by what's in us and let Jesus flow out of us into the world. So Lord, use my mouth for your glory today. Any adjustments you want to place in what you've given me, I'm willing to submit and obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. I heard the Lord say to me this morning, John 3:16, after he had kind of given me a vision. So he said that's where we should start. How many know what John 3:16 says? Put your hand up. I don't have to say it. God so loved the world. He doesn't say, I don't like the United States of America. Doesn't say, I don't like the Arabian nations, the Hindu nations. How many know that this is going to be the year of the pig for some people? Huh?
Yeah.
Who can... China celebrates their new year? And it's the year of the... Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I can see ham all over the place. But we laugh. You see, God so loved the world that he gave. Not to judge. Not to condemn. What a pattern for the church. Not to judge. Not to condemn. Not to be critical of the world. World leaders. They're only doing what's natural. Sin and the sinfulness of sin. Very normal for those who are celebrating the pig. Very normal for those who think they're Christ-like and acting like pigs. See, some say they are of the Lord, but their actions are what? And I don't want to go there. But you can fill in your own blanks. You understand? It's not for us to judge. Our God said there was one judge that would come, and his name is Jesus. And he's going to come alive in
us.
That's where the judgment stops. That's where the criticalness stops. With me and you. And who does it start giving grace to?
Ourselves.
You know, when the Lord began to show me this years ago, he showed me I was so critical, I didn't need my critical mom or dad for perfecting myself. I was doing it on my own. And I became such an irritation to myself that I didn't like me anymore. Somebody dropped a little heart over here. Who did that?
I did.
Thank you for being guilty. When you were this tiny, were you critical of yourself? Are you sure? You were
innocent.
You were, what else?
Pure.
Pure? What else?
Free.
Free. Thank you. What else? Come on.
Nurtured.
Come again?
Being nurtured.
You were being nurtured and loved. Some of you were being criticized already. Because you showed up. Come on, think about it. See, you were innocent. You weren't guilty of anything. Yet, you showed up and became what? And you became an irritation. Yes? How many know that they became an irritation? They're absolutely sure. I want you to look at your hands. Look at your hands. Look around. See the other hands that are there. All right. What am I saying to you? The pattern of rejection began when? You were a little tiny seed in your mother and father's relationships. Okay? You just showed up. And in my case, I was number 21, so guess how much rejection I got. That's right. I'm the 21st child of my father. So my mother must have said, oh no, not again. All teasing aside. See, what should have been a blessing became an irritation. God had allowed it, but it certainly wasn't going to be easy sledding. He also showed me this morning that because of the patterns of mouths and the words of the mouth that were around you at that time, when you were in seed form, you picked up some intense habits. Well, if I wasn't having this baby right now, we could do this. But because my body's not up to it, we can't. So what happens? The child picks up. Come on, who said rejection? Thank you. The very first thing you pick up is rejection. And the woman is looking for an escape. Because of the pain of her circumstances and could be the father in the same space or worse. That's the kind of entrance that many of you came into this realm with. Through no fault of your own, you ended up being rejected, oppressed, criticized, found fault with, and you had no, what? You had no what? No idea. You became what? A recipient of?
Use.
Huh? Yes, you became abused. And you weren't even born yet.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So you see, where is your pattern from? Is it from the Heavenly Father who released you into this realm? Or is it from the abusive stuff that came after you entered this realm? And what am I saying to you? I'm saying that Jesus, in his word, said to us, I was released into this realm, not to judge. You've already had enough. Not to condemn, because you've had quite a bit. Not to find fault. But to find what? Why did he send his son?
Love.
Love. And we taste it, but we tasted it in little spurts here and there. And when you finally came out of the womb, they finally decided, well, we got him. We got to do with him. Amen?
Amen?
And we survive, and then the love flow begins, and we get some nurturing. Some. Limited, depending on the abilities of our parents and those that are around us. Okay? Why? Because we are in the human race, and the human race has been filled with sin and utter sinfulness. And yet we don't understand it. Because we think, hey, we're normal. If we were normal, we'd be like Adam and Eve and like Jesus Christ before the fall. Wouldn't that be awesome to taste that goodness? I want to show you through Daniel chapter 2 what God intends to do. Because you see, I could talk to you about all the flaws in you, but he already took them on the cross with him. He took your hurts. He took your pain. He took your rejection. He took all those words of hurt and criticalness that came against you through no fault of your own. And he decided to do something about it. And the example is so awesome because how many know what the word Babylon means?
Confusion.
Confusion. Okay. He was the king of Iraq. How many would like to have a new king in Iraq right now? How many would like to see King Jesus take over Iraq? Okay, I heard some good amen in there. All right. King Jesus taking over Iraq would cause what? What would happen to America? What would happen to America? We'd have nothing to do. But you know what? We went there for a reason. It might not be your reason or my reason, but we went there for a reason because nothing happens by accident. God says, I'm in charge of every single leader. And in case you forgot, when they do it wrong, he just giggles. Psalms number 2. He just starts laughing. Boy, one of these days they're going to wake up. Okay? Daniel chapter 2. Now, Daniel in chapter 2 is working with Nebuchadnezzar the king. Okay? And I'd like to give you the beginning of it. So in verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was touched, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers, to tell him what he had dreamt. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers, etc., 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 and I could keep on going. And I would suggest that you read that because you'd get a kind of a background of what's going on. Now, I'm going to take you fast forward, okay? Verse 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. So why does compassion come out of Daniel for these warlocks?
Yep. He was considered one of the wise men at the time.
Yes, he was.
The same group.
He's in the same group. So how many believers today would decide to keep a job when they've got some real heavy-duty witchcraft working all around them? Go to Palmer High. I like that. How many would like? Yeah, that's right. Your high schools are filled. And you have to survive it, right? Why are you there, sweetheart?
Help.
To help and to be a light. And to educate, like Daniel, maybe to interpret dreams.
There are people around me that have these necklaces, and like, my religion is better than yours. I'm like, keep telling yourself that.
Okay. And you're not afraid to respond, correct? No. Why?
Because I know they can't do anything to me.
Amen. This little girl could give you lessons on how to survive witchcraft. Some people get so bent out of shape because there's a witch or a warlock down the street. Daniel saves their butt. Why? Because he wants to what? Have them worship the Most High God someday. So those that are in witchcraft have no idea who's praying for them.
Amen.
Could be. Could be me. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Now, verse 26. I'm going to pop up this now that you've survived the light. That help? The king, let's see. The king asked Daniel, 26, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the vision that passed through your mind, don't lose that part. It passes through your mind. As you lay on your bed, are these, as you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revelation, the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. And as for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have great wisdom or greater wisdom than the other than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs in iron, of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. Did you hear that? It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Say, wow.
Wow.
Ah. What started off as a little tiny
rock.
A little tiny seed in a lady's womb has now grown and become a huge mountain. His name is
Jesus.
And some people say he's not living. He's gone. He disappeared. Well, he disappeared in his smallness to appear in his greatness inside of you and inside of me. So kind of join your hand to the neighbor right now, if you've got a couple, and agree with me that there's more of Jesus.
There's more of Jesus
when I'm connected to you,
than when I'm alone.
Amen?
Amen.
One puts a thousand to flight. Two puts. And three puts. And you wonder why the enemy's shaking when you guys show up. And you begin to connect with your brothers and your sisters. You wonder why he's trying to hinder the body of Christ from connecting in love. See, a lot of them connect out of what? Criticalness.
Yes.
It's not God. The harmony of the body of Christ is to be one with unit of love, one with the other. Are we under construction in that area? Amen. Okay. Now, it says, the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. Who's the wind? The Holy Spirit is the wind. Swept who away? All the particles of clay, iron, bronze, silver, and even the gold. That statue was a kingdom of the earth. Now, verse 36. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it. We should have a little circle around there. Because it is not Daniel claiming for himself to be the revelator. We, meaning the Spirit of God inside of this man, is declaring to the king, here's what's up. We will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you among another king, will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay, and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. Verse 44 should have a circle around it. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Say, the God of heaven will set up.
God of heaven will set up
a kingdom
that might be destroyed anytime.
Miss Sprint?
Never.
Oh, really? Well, I hear a lot of people saying that we better hurry up because we're going to get booking out of here anytime. But that's not what the word says. It says, when the kingdom is set up, that kingdom will never be destroyed. They're not booking out. Nor will it be left to another people. Behold, when the kingdom is put together, it's not going to be just maybe. It's going to be. It will crush all those kingdoms. Oh, did you catch it? Are you ready to start crushing? If you're not, you better change your heart. You better repent of what you thought was a good idea. And maybe look at what God says I'm going to do. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself endure part time. Uh-huh. Forever. Why am I putting a misprint? Because you see, if you believe people rather than the word of the Lord, you're going to have a mixture and a confused state, which is a Babylonian thought pattern. You don't need that. What you need is his word. And when his word says that he will send out his angels to gather all his people, to make them a kingdom of what?
a kingdom of
priests
and kings. They will lay down their lives for each other to be humbly separating that which is of God and lifting up that which is not of God and getting them to be changed. Not being critical of them, but praying for them until they are changed. Got it? It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron and bronze and the clay and the silver and the gold to pieces. It is the rock, Christ Jesus, that will accomplish this. And as you gather together, you become a mountain. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, watch this. This is the king of the most renowned nation covering unbelievable amounts of people. He fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor. Say, wow. Paid him honor and ordered that an offering and of incense be presented. Ah! What does incense represent? Prayers. So guess what? The one that's been interceding is now receiving what? The very thing he gave out. If my people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray, what happens? Eventually somebody's going to pray for you. That an offering and of incense be presented to him, the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods. Hallelujah. And the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. And the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon. So when Daniel becomes the ruler over all confusion, what happens? What happens to Iraq? When the king sets them free, when King Jesus removes the confusion, what happens? What happens to the United States of America when all the confusion and all the political correctness gets dealt with by King Jesus? What happens?
Order falls in. Order.
Order.
Peace.
Peace. What else?
Freedom.
What else?
Harmony.
Yes. And it starts with us. It starts with a changed heart. It starts with a kingdom of love. Instead of the kingdom of criticalness towards me first. It's got to start with me, working on me, getting this kingdom in harmony. Amen?
Amen.
Now, moreover, 49. Well, back it up because I kind of missed, I jumped ahead. 48. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. How do you like them apples? What if he hadn't prayed for them? What if he had slaughtered them, criticized them, found fault with them? Could he then teach them, or would they have a teachable heart? No. So what are you supposed to do when those that think they've got all the answers say to you, ha ha, my God is bigger than your God? My sister gave you the answer. Yeah, go ahead, do your best. Go ahead, do your stuff. And when you get done, we'll talk about who's got the real power. I'll introduce you to the rock that's going to grow into a mountain and change you and heal you and set you free from all your selfishness. Because the kingdom of confusion is a kingdom of selfishness. The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of selflessness. Yes? When I am totally selfless, I am then capable of being submissive to the Holy One of Israel. But I need to let him in. Moreover, 49. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal courts. You know, I was saying to the Lord, how does this word impact their hearts today? Why do you want that word now? He said, because there's a spirit of helplessness that's in the body of Christ. And sometimes it intermingles with hopelessness. Using those types and shadows, it creates a place of disability in the people of God. And when you're disabled, you now get confusion. And confusion, what? What does confusion do to you? Who said that? Thank you. When you're paralyzed, who gets all the glory? Yeah, the enemy does. And you stay totally helpless, yet the scripture says one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, three puts 100,000. Do you understand where I'm coming from right now? I'm trying to make you see that you're a part of that kingdom that will not be destroyed. It's not a kingdom that's going to escape. It's going to grow until you become a mighty mountain in the hands of our God. Totally in love with each other. You say, how can that be? Read the book of Acts. You've got a sample in the book of Acts where they were in harmony with each other. They were caring for one another. They were breaking bread every day. Not once a month. Not once a year. They broke bread. They were taking time out to connect with each other. They prayed for one another until they were changed, transformed, and healed. That's my prayer. That's my prayer that today you will walk out of this room changed with an attitude that you've got some buddies available for prayer. Buddies available for intercession. Buddies that are willing to lay down their lives for each other so that you can come to life in a greater way. That's what Jesus is all about. Would you close your eyes, please? Father, I thank you for the open heaven. I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke upon them today. I thank you for the hopelessness to be busted by the wonderful rock, Christ Jesus. I thank you that the words of criticalness and fault-finding and confusion that have come out of their mouths against themselves will receive grace today. Because without grace, you're not going to do it. Without mercy being embedded inside of you for yourself first, you're not going to be a handy tool to change the people around you. So I'm asking my Father, this day, to release an anointing of love for the whole world, including those in Iraq, including the ridiculous things that are on the air all over the place. Yes, the kingdom of Babylon is definitely trying to overwhelm America, but it will not succeed because the kingdom that Jesus has set up is becoming a mountain a great mountain of lovers, not a great mountain of critics. Do I get any amens? Father, I thank you now that you would just release the grace that they need to become the men and women of God, the lovers of each other, and the releasers of love to each other for God's glory.